10. Home free. Home. The solo apartments, not far from the ruined hulk of the Imperial Senate, still stood nearly intact. Home was where Jason had been heading ever since he'd woken up under the bridge. Where else did he have to go? Is anything better than finally finding your way home? One thing he'd never asked himself. Once he got home, what then? He'd been half expecting all these weeks that reaching the place where he'd grown up would mean something, that he'd find some kind of safety there, some kind of answers. As though, if he could only lie down for a nap in his own bed, he'd wake up to find that the nightmare he'd lived, losing his family, his youth, his faith, had been only a hypnoid fantasy sparked by teenage hormones and an undigested dinner. Is anything worse than finally reaching home and finding that you're still lost? He'd been lost at home for hours by the time Anakin walked in. Jason sat in his place, in the chair he'd always used at the dining table on those rare occasions when the whole family had been together. To the left of his mother's chair, next to Jaina, who'd always sat at his father's right. Across the table, Anakin always used to sit next to the specially designed Wookiee-sized chair for Chewbacca. Jason tried to summon memories of those happy family times, tried to hear Chewbacca's half-howled laughter, tried to see his mother's struggle to maintain a disapproving glare at one of his father's slightly risque stories, tried to feel Jaina's elbow in his ribs, or a surreptitious glop of orange potato flipped at him by Anakin when their parents weren't looking. But he couldn't. He couldn't fit those images into this dining room. The dining room was different now. A slickly glistening blue glob of puffballs, some sort of fungus colony, had enveloped Chewbacca's chair and a quarter of the dining table. Pale yellow tendrils rooted it to the leafy purple underbrush that had sprouted from the floor. The table itself had cracked in the middle, buckling beneath some kind of blood-red taproot the size of a hut that had broken through the ceiling and seemed determined to drill its way through the floor as well. The walls were draped with multicolored creepers that served as habitat for a variety of hand-sized creatures resembling scaled, warm-blooded spiders. Jason was pretty sure they were warm-blooded. At least their clawed, seven-toed feet felt warm as they ran down his arms, up his chest, and across the back of his shoulders. He'd blink once in a while, when one would scamper over his face, but that was his only motion. He could have moved if he wanted. He just couldn't come up with a reason to. The arachnoid creatures spat some kind of mucus-like secretion, globs of thick, glassy saliva that stuck tenaciously to whatever it touched, with the sole exception of the arachnoids themselves. While it was still wet, their prehensile feet stretched and spun and drew the saliva out into thick, glistening ropes that tightened and turned translucent as they dried, filling half the solo dining room with a frosted, fibrous web. Jason was pretty sure that this web was intended to bind him to this chair, that these arachnoids had some vague, presentient plan to eventually eat him. He could have broken free without much effort, earlier, before the web had grown strong. He hadn't. Even now, a shrug of his anger could scatter the arachnoids and flash burn their web into non-existence. But he couldn't think of a reason why he should bother. Anakin walked through the web strands as though they didn't exist. He wore a dark vest over a loose tunic and close-fitting breeches in the Corellian style. He hooked his thumbs behind a wide leather belt, his right near an empty clip where his lightsaber should have been, and gave Jason a crooked smile so much like Han's, it brought tears to his eyes. "What you doing, big brother?" One of the arachnoids scampered along a strand that passed through Anakin's chest at an angle from shoulder to floating rib. Neither paid the slightest attention to the other. Jason looked at Anakin for a long time, then sighed. "What are you this time?"
"This time?"
Jason closed his eyes. "You remember Uncle Luke talking about his master? About how he could feel Master Obi-Wan in the Force sometimes, even after he'd seen Darth Vader, seen our grandfather kill him on the first Death Star? How he could hear Master Obi-Wan's voice giving him advice, and a couple of times even see him? Sure, everybody knows those stories. I guess I kept expecting you to help me like that. I mean, I know. You're not my master, and I saw your body. I saw what they did to you. But still, I guess I kept hoping, you know? I just wanted to hear your voice again, one more time. See you grin. Smack you one on the top of the head for doing something as stupid as getting yourself killed. Not that you ever needed all that much of a reason, huh? Jason's closed eyes filled with tears. Yeah. One last time, you know? Sure. That's why I fell for it. Both times. Both times. Jason tilted his head in a sketch of a shrug. Back in the nursery, when Vergera stopped me from killing the last Duryam, she used the Force to fake your voice, and I... How do you know? Jason opened his eyes, frowning. What? You sure it was a fake? Anakin's grin was as playfully lopsided as it had ever been. She was using the Force, right? How do you know the Force wasn't using her? I guess I don't, Jason admitted slowly. But it doesn't really make any difference, if you say so. The last time, you had nothing to do with the Force. You were telepathic bait. Maybe I was. Are you sure that's all I was? Jason frowned without answering. What would have happened if you hadn't seen me there on the balcony? He lowered his head. I don't know. I might have let myself fall, he finished silently. He couldn't say it. He had let himself fall. He had fallen faster and farther than any mere drop to his death. So seeing me there saved your life, huh? Yeah, I guess. But what you led me to, I mean, what it, the telepathic projection, what it led me to, it, me, whatever. Anakin waved a dismissive hand. Don't get hung up on meaningless distinctions. But down there, down inside the cavern beast. Bitter acid slid up the back of Jason's throat. He couldn't go on. You saved the girl, didn't you? Oh, sure. Saved her. I sure did. Jason coughed, gagging on the memory. But the others... There had been other people in the belly of the beast. A lot of people. 50 or more. Nearly all human. They had come crowding to the mouths of the stomach chamber gullet tunnels only a moment after Jason had freed the girl. None of them was happy. With raw force rolling through him in dark waves, he had been able to seize his own hands telekinetically, using them like tools to peel back the clamped shut lips of the stomach mouth. He could feel every centimeter of the girl in the force, could feel her terror and hope, and the agony of her acid-scorched skin. And with the force, he'd lifted her effortlessly, setting her safely on the bowl rim above. A force-assisted leap had carried him neatly to her side. Then he'd lifted her in his physical arms and leapt to the gullet tunnel down which he'd come. Her clothing had hung in tatters, her skin reddened, peeling, seeping fluid, cooking in the slow heat of the acids that still coated her. Jason had swiftly stripped off the remnants of her clothing, replacing them with his own robe skin. "It's all right. You'll be all right," he had told her. "The robe skin will take care of you." It would not only absorb and eliminate the leftover acids, but also eat necrotic skin on her burns and probably save her from serious infection, even gangrene. He hadn't told her that, of course. Despite the darkening thunder of the force rolling through him, he hadn't been thoughtlessly cruel enough to tell her, after what she'd been through, that the clothing he had given her was already eating parts of her flesh. And then, clad only in his breech clout, he had looked up and seen the others. The cavern beast people, 50-odd of them. Some of them had blasters. Some of the blasters had been pointed at him. It was so sick. I couldn't believe it. Jason shook his head. I didn't want to believe it. Anakin stared at him patiently. Worse than peace brigaders. Worse than anything I can think of. Jason shut his eyes against the memory. They were living in there. The cavern beast was a conservative predator. If its telepathic bait captured more animals than it needed for food, captured survivors could live for a considerable while inside. The moisture that had dripped continuously from the stalactites was actually an internal food reserve, analogous to a human's stored fats and glycogen, that could both hydrate and nourish creatures in the cavern beast's multiple crops. The cavern beast processed waste matter ultra-efficiently, extracting nutrition from its captives' feces and water from its captives' urine, and the body heat given off by captives helped the cavern beast regulate its internal temperature. When it needed the extra nutrition of a living body, it could squeeze one of its inhabited crops, forcing captives down the gullet to the stomach chamber. They were mostly down-level refugees who'd missed the evacuation. But some of them were escaped slaves from the seed ship. The Yuuzhan Vong are familiar with cavern beasts, and they avoid them. It wouldn't surprise me if these were the original unshaped baseline from which they bred their world ships, like the one where you... the one at Mirker. He coughed, obscurely embarrassed. Sorry. It's okay, Jace. Anakin's grin was easy, friendly. Don't worry about me. I'm not sensitive. Jason nodded. I guess I am, though. You always were. Go on. Jason sighed sadly, but anger began to trickle through his guts again. So it makes a perfect hiding place from the Yuuzhan Vong patrols. The cavern beast hides them, gives them shelter, water, food. Sometimes it lures in animals that can be killed and eaten, or traps a refugee who's carrying a stash of protein squares or whatever. There's only one problem. Every once in a while, it gets hungry. Sometimes there's an animal or two that can be thrown to the stomachs. Jason swallowed and looked at the ceiling. Brilliant green fingers of moss had crept in through the crack forced open by the immense taproot. And sometimes... his voice came out thick, hoarse with remembered fury. Sometimes there isn't. Anakin nodded gravely. The girl... yeah, the girl. They had a rule. Last to arrive is first to go. First to go... in. The girl had gotten there only a few hours before me. But some of them, the ones who did that to her... his breath went hot and his vision began to haze subtly red. Some of them had been in there for weeks. Weeks, do you understand? Do you understand what they were doing? How many people? He had to stop, panting, until he could force the rage back down below his throat. Anakin watched him expressionlessly. Finally, he could go on. They didn't even kill her, just knocked her on the head and threw her in. Muscle bulged at the corners of his jaw. His voice dripped loathing. I guess they didn't kill her because they didn't want her murder on their consciences. Anakin shrugged. People are capable of rationalizing just about anything. But she woke up before the stomach closed over her, and almost got out. Made it halfway. Far enough to scream. Jason's voice dropped to just above a whisper. That's where I came in. So, what happened? I sure wasn't about to let them put her back in. I wasn't about to let them put anyone in. But all the stomachs were opening, and the crops were forcing everyone down the gullets. The cavern beast wanted to be fed, and if they didn't take care of it, it'd just take care of itself. and the last one in was me. Right. They tried to feed you to the cavern beast. Jason said, It never got that far. No. I've changed, Anakin. I can't excuse it. I can't even explain it. But you should know it's okay, Jace. No matter what happened. No matter what you've done or what's been done to you, you're still my big brother, you know. You always will be. Big brother. Jason echoed tonelessly. His eyes ached. He leaned his elbows to his knees and rested his face in his burned hands. Funny, these past couple of years, I felt like you're the big brother. That's kind of silly. Is it? Anakin, you were so sure of yourself. So sure of everything. So strong. I looked up to you, Anakin. You always seemed to know what to do next. Things were so easy for you. Everything's easy when you have no doubts. But that's what I wanted. To be sure. That's what I thought being a Jedi was. He lifted his face and his eyes were wet. He laughed bitterly through his tears. Don't you get it? You're exactly what I want to be when I grow up. What? Dead? You know what I mean. I didn't question things because I was never the questioning kind of guy. I was never thoughtful like you. I was more like Uncle Luke, a human weapon. Point me at the bad guys and turn me loose. I knock 'em down and everybody cheers. But things are different now. Doing things the old way. My way, Uncle Luke's way. That's just getting people killed. Look at what happened to me. What's happening to all of us. Better that than what's happening to me, Jason whispered. Better off dead, you think so? Regret welled up inside him, building a pressure of guilt and self-loathing that he could no longer lock away. He looked at his hands, at the burned cracked flesh in the middle of his palms, roasting in the lightning of his rage. Anakin, I went dark, did you? Under the old Jedi temple, when Vergeer handed me over to Numanor. What I did was bad, but it wasn't evil. It was panic and exhaustion, and suddenly finding the Force again when I thought it had been taken from me forever. Saving the girl? I'm not sorry for that. Anger was all I had left. And I didn't hurt anybody. Except yourself. But that's okay, isn't it? Isn't that part of being a Jedi? To sacrifice your own welfare to save others? Anakin turned one palm upward. You tell me. Jason looked away, remembering hurt. Talking hurt even more. But not talking about it. Not admitting what he'd done. Rationalizing it. Justifying it. That he would not do. I haven't fallen that far, he thought. Yet. He had used the darkness for strength, letting it course through his veins like blood to keep him upright and functioning while the cavern beast people appeared, while he learned who they were and what they had done to survive. He might have been able to hold on to his temper if it had only been that. What they had done, what they had become, sickened him, but he was not a judge. He was a Jedi. He might still have found some way to help them. Even as the stomach mouths gaped around them, fogging the chamber with their acidic gases and the cavern beast people had closed in around him, blasters leveled, coldly murderous while faking regret, he might still have resisted his dark lust to do them harm. The final ounce of pressure on Jason's trigger had come from the girl. He's the last. He's the last, she had shouted. Take him. Him. He's the last. She turned on me, Jason said quietly. Do you blame her? He shook his head. How can I? She's just a girl. A girl who knows what it feels like to be digested alive. A girl who knew that if it wasn't me, it'd be her. Again. I guess I mean, did you blame her? That's different. Jason's face was bleak as a sandstone cliff on Kirdo 3. I blamed all of them. I hated them. And I set out to hurt them. Really? I knew what I was doing. I knew exactly what it meant. I reached into the dark. I wanted it. I reveled in it. I remember laughing. I remember telling them how much trouble they were in. I remember feeling them through the force as their fake regret turned to real fear. I remember liking it. They had fired on him, blaster bolts streaking scarlet through the greenish acid fog. Laughing, Jason had caught their blaster bolts with the palm of his right hand, effortlessly channeling away the destructive energies before they could do him harm. Flicks of his wrist had seized those blasters with the force and tossed them negligently aside. How many of them did you kill? All of them. Jason looked down at his trembling hands. He clenched them until his burns leaked blood onto his palms. None of them. What's the difference? While the force had roared through his head, he'd reached down into the hollow center of his chest, into the void where the slave seed had been, and there he had found the dim semi-consciousness of the cavern beast. With the force for power, he'd created a delusion, a simple conviction so deeply rooted in the cavern beast's murky mind that no evidence to the contrary could ever shake it. Humans are poisonous. So is every other sentient species of the New Republic. The cavern beast had had no resistance against this kind of trick. It lacked even the rudimentary ability to say to itself, "But none of the ones I've already eaten have made me sick." All it had had was a defensive reflex. It vomited. A massive surge of reverse peristalsis had swept up the people, the girl, Jason, and every other foreign object throughout the cavern beast's immense interior and washed them all out through the luminescent cartilage-lined throat down which Jason had entered. He remembered their anger and their growing panic as the pile of people outside the cavern beast's mouth had disentangled itself into individuals again, and they'd found the teeth of their sanctuary locked against them. No longer could they pay for safety from the Yuuzhan Vong with the lives of others. "You've killed us," someone had sobbed. "You've killed us all." Jason had stared at them, icy with power. "Not yet." These soft, weak, contemptibly treacherous creatures, he could imagine nothing more loathsome. He'd turned his back on them, walked away. He'd left them to the Yuuzhan Vong and to each other. "But you did help them. Better death than life, bought with innocent blood." "Is that supposed to make it all right? I wasn't trying to help them. I wanted them to suffer. I can't even blame it on the dark side. I know that now. The dark side didn't make me do anything. I know. That's not the way it works. It was all me, Anakin. I gave in to my own darkness. I let my dark side run wild." "You could have killed them all. You had the power. And you could have killed the cavern beast. You had power enough for that, too, I bet. Just like you could have killed Vergere and Nomanur. But you didn't kill anybody. Instead, you used the power you'd found to serve life. Your dark side ain't all that dark, big brother. It doesn't matter. You can't fight the dark with the dark." "That's Uncle Luke talking. Fighting the dark was his job. The Yuuzhan Vong aren't dark. They're alien. And I can't seem to make myself fight them. Who says you have to?" Jason's head snapped up. "You do. Everyone does. What other answer is there? Why are you asking me?" Anakin had lost his playful, crooked smile, and he'd moved close enough that Jason could reach out and touch him. If he could make himself move his hand, if there had been anything there to touch. The despair that pinned him to his seat swelled into a black hole of hopelessness that sucked air from his chest. "Who else can I ask? What can I do? What am I supposed to do now?" he sagged, shaking. "I've completely lost it, haven't I? Here I am arguing with a hallucination. You don't even exist. Does it matter? You're not that easy to get through to, Big Brother. I have to take any means available." "How can it not matter?" Jason suddenly shouted. I need. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's real anymore." On the seed ship, I was a force projection. Then I was telepathic bait. Now I'm a hallucination. That doesn't mean I'm not me. Why does everything have to be one or the other? Because it does. Because things are either one thing or something else. That's the way it is. You can't be fake and real at the same time. Why not? Because you can't, that's all. The force is one, Jason. It encompasses all opposites, truth and lies, life and death, New Republic and Yuuzhan Vong, light and dark and good and evil. They're all each other, because each thing and everything is the same thing. The force is one. That's a lie. Yes, and it's the truth. "You're not Anakin," Jason shouted. "You're not. Anakin would never talk like that. Anakin would never believe that. You're just a hallucination." "Okay. I'm a hallucination. That means you're talking to yourself. That means what I'm saying is what you believe." Jason wanted to howl, to rage, to leap from his chair and fight. Something. Anything. But the black hole ate his breath, his strength, his anger. It swallowed even the universe of hate and ended up emptier than it had begun. Where all his hope, all his love, all his certainty had ever been now gaped a cold void, filled only with the blank, inanimate hunger of vacuum, and Jason collapsed. He didn't even have the strength to cry. He fell into the black hole. Eons passed, or nanoseconds. Within the black hole, there was no difference between the two. Stars condensed from intergalactic hydrogen, ignited, fused, burned heavy metals, shrank to white dwarfs that faded to brown, all between one breath and the next. Eternity within the dark. Information infell across the event horizon. A voice. He knew the voice, knew he should not listen. But he was not just in the black hole. He was the black hole, capturing everything, holding it forever. What is real? What is illusion? Where is the line between truth and lie, between right and wrong? It's a cold and lonely place, Jason Solo, the void of not knowing. He didn't answer. A black hole can't reply. An event horizon is the ultimate valve. Anything at all can pass through in one direction, nothing at all in the other. But the infalling voice triggered this black hole into quantum decay. His personal event horizon shrank in an instant to a point mass in the middle of his chest. And Jason opened his eyes. "Verger," he said dully, "how did you find me?" She had settled feline-like upon the Solo dining table, arms and legs folded beneath her. She stared at him with interstellar eyes. "I do not share our master's prejudice against technology. Portions of the planetary database survive in memory cores. Discovering the home address of the former chief of state was no great trick." "But how did you know? How did you know I'd come home?" "It is an instinct of all pack animals," The mortally wounded crawl back to their own dens to die. Wounded? With the greatest wound a Jedi can suffer. Freedom? Another riddle. He had no strength for riddles. I don't understand. When you always know what is right, where is freedom? No one chooses the wrong, Jason Solo. Uncertainty sets you free. Jason thought about that for a long time. Die at home, he murmured. Some home. Have you seen this place? Jaina's room is full of some kind of plant that tried to eat me. The kitchen looks like a coral reef. My collection... He could only shake his head. This isn't my home. Neither are you going to die, she said cheerfully. Have you forgotten? You're dead already. You have been these many months. You have nearly completed your passage through the lands of the dead. Now is time not for death, but for new life. You are healed, Jason Solo. Arise and walk. Jason sank lower in the chair, staring blindly up through the tangle of arachnoid cables. Why should I? Because you can, of course. Why else would anyone bother to get up? I don't know. He closed his eyes again. It doesn't matter whether I get up or sit here until I starve. Nothing matters. Nothing means anything. Not even your brother's death? He shrugged listlessly. Life, death, all was one. One with the Force. He said, The Force doesn't care. Don't you care? He opened his eyes. Her gaze had the peculiar, almost humorous intensity he'd seen in the embrace chamber, in the nursery, at the crater. But he was too tired, too broken, to puzzle through whatever she might want him to discover. Whether I care doesn't matter either. Corners of her mouth tricked up and down. Does it matter to you? He stared at his hands. After a long, long silence, he sighed. Yes. Yes, it does. It never occurred to him to lie to her. But so what? Sure, I care. But who am I? She gave a shrug so subtle it was almost a shiver. That's always been the question, yes? But you never have an answer. I do have an answer, she said kindly. But it's my answer, not yours. You will find no truth in me. You keep telling me that. Bitter ashes rasped in the back of his throat. Or in anybody else either, I guess. She said, Exactly. A high buzzing whine rose in his ears, skirling around his head like an angry spark bee trapped inside his skull. Then where is the truth supposed to be? He asked blurrily. Where? Tell me. Please. He could barely hear his own voice over the buzz in his ears. It grew to a roar. She leaned forward, smiling, and the roar drowned what she said. But he could read the words from her lips. Ask yourself, where else can one look? What? He gasped faintly. What? As the roar became a storm inside his head, pounding away all words, all hope of sense, she gathered her four opposable fingers into a point and lightly tapped his chest. Right on the center, right over the void left by the slave seed, right over the point mass of his own personal event horizon, as though knocking on a door. Down in that void, there was quiet. There was calm, the eye of the storm inside him. He threw his mind into the calm, quiet void, let the quiet calm swell to envelop everything he was. The storm blew away. The black hole swallowed itself. He was not alone in the quiet calm. Here was the Force, the living connection that bound him to everything that is, that ever has been, that ever will be. Here, too, was the Vong life. From the dim satisfaction of the blue puffball basking in the warmth of his and Vergere's body heat, to the industrious concentration of the arachnoids that skittered through their growing web, to the balanced readiness for instant violence of 12 Yuuzhan Vong warriors who now filed into the room, and the breathless anticipation of triumph that shone through Nomanor as he entered behind them. Yuuzhan Vong warriors, 12 of them, armed, and Nomanor. The warriors spread out in a shallow arc. Jason regarded them steadily, without alarm. Here, in the quiet calm of his center, there was no such thing as surprise, no such thing as danger. There was only him, and all of them, and the universe, of which each was a small interlocking component. He looked at Verger in wonder. He understood now, where he never could have before. She had not said, "Ask yourself where else can one look?" She had said, "Ask yourself, where else can one look?" Nomanor paced forward, hands clasped to each other within the voluminous sleeves of a floor-length robeskin so black it gleamed. Jason could see his own reflection distorted in its glossy surface. Nomanor, Jason thought, is standing in our dining room. "The meaninglessness and despair from which you suffer," Nomanor said sulkily, "is the inevitable result of your bankrupt religion. This force of yours, it has no purpose. It merely is what it is, corrupt with the rot that infects this whole galaxy, full of lies and delusions, petty jealousies and betrayal. But there is purpose in the universe. There is a reason to get up, and you can find it. I can share it with you." He's been listening, Jason thought. Of course, Verger would have led him here. "Now is the time," Nomanor continued, "for you to leave behind your useless force. Now is the time to leave behind your life's darkness and delusion. Now is the time to take your place in the pure light of truth." Jason's voice seemed to echo around him, as though the calm, quiet void from which he spoke was a vast cavern. "Whose truth?" "Your truth, Jason Solo," Nomanor said with a flourish. "The truth of the god you are." "The god I am?" From within one of those voluminous sleeves, Nomanor produced a lightsaber. All 12 of the warriors tensed, their faces twisted into masks of loathing, as he triggered the blade and stepped forward. Brilliant purple energy sliced through the arachnoid webs. Jason watched without expression as Nomanor swiftly and efficiently carved away the spit cables that had webbed him into the chair. The executor released the activation plate and knelt at Jason's feet. He lowered his head in obeisance and offered up the deactivated lightsaber to Jason on outstretched palms. Jason recognized the hand grip's design. It was Anakin's. He looked at Verger. She returned his gaze steadily. "Choose and act." Jason saw with preternatural clarity the choice he was being offered. The opportunity. Anakin's lightsaber. Anakin had made it. Anakin had used it. It had changed him, and he had transformed it. Its crystal was not like those of the other lightsabers, but was a living Vong life gem. "Part Jedi, part Yuuzhan Vong," he thought, "almost like me." They were offering him Anakin's life, his spirit, his skill, his courage, his violence. Jason had first used a lightsaber in combat at the age of 3. He was a natural. And now he could feel the Yuuzhan Vong, and the Force was with him. He could follow Anakin's path. He could be pure warrior. He could be even greater than his brother had been. With the dark power he could command, he could surpass any living Jedi, even Uncle Luke, surpass even the Jedi Knights of old. He could be the greatest sword of the Force who had ever lived. More. He could avenge his brother with the weapon his brother had forged. I could pick that up, he thought, and kill them all. Is that who I am? Is that who I want to be? He looked at Numenor. The executor said, "Take up the blasphemous weapon and slay, or choose life. Choose to learn the truth. Choose to teach the truth. To share truth with your people. Let me teach you the truth you can share, the truth of the god you are." Jason reached for the lightsaber, but not with his hand. The hand grip seemed to levitate, bobbling in the air above Numenor's palms. Then it flipped away, hurtling toward Vergere. She caught it neatly and set it on the table at her side. He stared at her and nodded her. He gazed at his own reflection on the glossy black curves of her bottomless eyes. He gazed silently, expressionlessly, until he felt himself reflect the reflection. He became pure surface, gleaming over an infinite well of darkness. A mirror for every image of night. He filled himself with stillness. When he was so still that he could feel the universe wheel around the axis he had become, he stood up. Numenor hissed soft triumph. "You will become a star, a sun, the sun, and you will fill the galaxy with the light of the true way." "All right," Jason said. A cold, still surface, flawless, unrippled by weakness or conscience or humanity. "Why not?"